Gotten all of the instructions. We know exactly how we're supposed to be traveling. The cloud, Moses' instructions, and the trumpets. In the fifth reading of Parshas Baaleischa, the Torah begins to tell us about the actual journeys. And so it came to pass, Vayihi Bashona Hashenis, in the second year, Bachedesh Hasheni, in the second month, which is the month of Iyar, in the year after the left Mitzrayim, the Esrim Bachedesh in the 20th of that month, Na'alo Ha'onon Me'al Mishkan Ha'edus. A full, what we would call, I guess 50 days, because the Shechina had come down on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is the 20th day of Iyar. So 50 days later, the cloud lifted from the Mishkan Ha'edus. So Rashi says, Bashona Hashenis, in the second year, Bachedesh Hasheni, says Rashi, this was the first journey the Jewish people took after leaving Mount Sinai. They had arrived at this encampment the year before on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So it was almost a full year, 10 days shy of a full year. Rashi says, you see, this indicates, Shneimas Hachedesh, Chosar Asar Yomim. They were there for 12 months, shy 10 days. Also B'chedev, they remained in Chedev, which is another name for Sinai. Sha'arei B'rish Chedesh Sivan Chonosham. They camped on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And now it's the 20th day of Iyar in the next year. V'linosu Ad Esrim B'Iyar L'Shana Abba. Okay, how'd they travel? V'yisu B'nei Yisrael L'Maseim. The children of Israel traveled in formation in their journeys in the Midbar Sinai, by Yishkein Ha'anon, the Midbar Paran. That first journey was from Chayrev, from Har Sinai, to Paran, to the Paran Desert. Rashi says, L'maaseihem, K'mishpat ha'mefudish l'maase diglehem. L'maaseihem, their journeys mean the formation of their journeys, the way they had been mustered by virtue of the different banners that we had already previously discussed. Mirishain, Umiachrin, who was first, who was last, and so on and so forth. But Midbar Paran, so here it says that they went from Midbar Sinai directly to Midbar Paran. However, later on, at the end of this book, when we start to go over all of the different journeys, it doesn't say it that way. It says they went from Midbar Sinai and Vayachanu B'Kivrei Sataiva, that they went to the graves of the craving. And that's when the people wanted beef. They said, where's the meat? Where's the beef? And Hashem sends them the quail, and they ate too much, and many people died because of their lusting and craving. So Rashi tells you, Kivrei Sataiva, B'midbar Paran Haya. The Paran Desert is a small area, a subsection of the Sinai Desert. And in the Paran Desert is Kivrei Sataiva. So it's not really a question. That's where they encamped. So they encamped in the Paran Desert, in a place that later becomes known as Kivrei Sataiva, the burial place due to the craving and lusting. All right, Mi Rishon Mi Achron, Rashi says, who first, who second? Vayisu B'Rishonah, and so they set out Al Pi Hashem, by the mouth of God, B'Yad Moshe. And we talked about this in the previous class, what exactly this means. Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe. Basically, it was by the signal, by the sign of the lifting cloud, and it was by Moshe Rabbeinu's instructions to sound the trumpets. Apia Hashem Biad Moshe, through the mechanism of the chatzitzis, of the trumpets. Vayisa Degel Machane Bnei Yehuda. So Degel Machane Bnei Yehuda sets forth, Barishena in the beginning, Litzivosam, by its hosts or troops, Val Tzavoi, and at the head of his troops is Nachshon Ben Aminadav. So the question is, why are we mentioning Nachshon ben Aminadav here? Of what relevance is it that, we already talked about this a number of times, why would we again mention the concept of who the Nasi was? Ramban says, that's to tell you that even when they were in motion, even when they were in the middle of a journey, even then, the Nasi was afforded dignity and respect, and he went first.
So he would be in the front.
He would be in the front. Yeah, presumably he would be in the front. Val tzva mate bnei Yisachar. So along with Degel Machni Yehuda, we know Yisachar and Zvulun came. So on the troop of Yisachar was Nisano ben Sur. V'altzavah mate b'nei Zvulun. And for the children of Zvulun, the Zvulun tribe, Eliyav ben Chelain. So here we have the three tribes that went under a common banner. And under this common banner, they began the journey. After talking about these three tribes, after talking about Degel Machne Yehuda, the banner of Yehuda, which is followed along with the tribes of Yisachar and Zvulun. In verse 17, the Torah says, V'hurad HaMishkan. Once these three tribes went into formation, once they began the journey, then the Mishkan was taken down. Not the Mishkan was taken down right in the beginning. Mishkan was left functioning, standing, in place until the last second. Only after three tribes had already mustered, only after ready information, the journey was ready to go. That's when the Levites swooped in and they took down the Mishkan. V'nasu b'nei Gershon, u'v'nei Merari, the children of Gershon and Merari, who are carrying the Mishkan, or that which comprised the actual structure and enclosure of the Mishkan, they were carrying that, and they would set forth after. They were the next ones to set forth. Rashi says, v'hurad ha-Mishkan. So taking the Mishkan apart is called hurad. And he explains, kevin shenisei degel Yehuda, once the banner of Yehuda with its three tribes set forth on the journey, which means that they were mustered, they were standing ready, not that they started walking, because everybody went together, but to here they were standing in journey formation. At that point, nichnesu Aaron uvan of Aaron, and his children went in ufarku esaparechas, they took down the curtain, which make a demarcation between the Holy of Holies and the Holy. V'chisu ba'as ha'aron, which they draped it over the ark and the cherubim. And then they would go ahead and clothe or cover all of the other sacred artifacts. Shenemar, as it's written, and this says earlier in chapter 4, Uvo Aharon Uvonov v'nesoy ha'machaneh. Aaron and his children, the Kohanim, would come in. They would prepare the Mishkan for his journey. They didn't carry it. Who carried it? The family of Kohos, another Levite family. However, Aaron uvanov, the Kohanim, had to first make sure that everything was ready to be carried. They had to prepare it to be carried. And once they had, when they were doing that, uvnei Gershon, uvnei Merari, once everything was covered over, the Bnei Gershon Merari went into action. Perkin ha-Mishkan, v'tayin ha-Nesha ba-Golas v'Nesha. They take down the Mishkan and they would load it onto wagons. V'ha'arein, v'klei ha'kedesh, but the ark and the holy artifacts, which were shomasa b'nei kohos, that were carried by kohos, imde mechusin v'noisin al mutes. They were there, covered over, bereft of an enclosure, and there would be these poles. And that's when Degel, the tribe of the family of kohos would go in. Ad shenasa Degel machne Reuven, until the Degel, the banner of Reuven, started to go, and then v'nasu ha'kohosim. That's the Kohatites went with the Mishkan. So basically we have the tribe of Yehuda, and Yisachar and Zvulun, and they muster, and they're going. After them comes the part of the enclosure of the Mishkan, B'nei Gershon and B'nei Merari, and they load everything on, and their wagons go. Then afterwards, B'nei Reuven go, and everybody who is along with their tribe, and then after that comes the children of Kohos carrying the holy artifacts. That's how that was the order. That's how it went.
So as we, right behind.
It was in succession. And that takes us into verse 18. V'nasa Degel Machne Reuven. So the Degel, the banner of Reuven, was set forth, litzivayim, according to their troops or formations. Val tzivaya, and the head of their troop is Elitzur ben Shedeur. Verse 19. Val tzivah mate b'nei Shimon. And then who was leading the troop, the family of the troop of the tribe of Shimon? Elitzur ben Shedeur. Shlumiel ben Tzur Shaddai. Val tzivah mate b'nei God. Now God and Shimon went along together with Reuven, so he also joins in into this parade, and his leader is called Eliyosaf ben Deuel. Now at this point, when we're ready, we finish now with the second family. With the second banner, there are four quadrants, four banners. First, the first banner sets forth, and then afterwards the Mishkan enclosure. The next banner sets forth Reuven and his cohorts, and after that come the Kohasim. After that comes the holy artifacts. As verse 21 says, V'nasar Kohasim, then the Kohatites were able to set forth and start moving. Noisi HaMikdash, they were the ones who were carrying the actual Migdash or Mishkan structure. And what's, think, why is it being done this way? V'hekimu es HaMishkan ad boyom, so that the Mishkan, by the time the Kohasites came along with an Aron, they would carry the Aron straight into a Mishkan that was already built. And then they put the Parechas up. And then they walk straight in and put the Shulchan. And they put the Menorah. And there's Be'ech Hazov, all of the inner artifacts. Rashi says, Neisi HaMikdash. This does not refer to the pieces of the Mikdash when it says that Neisi HaMakas and Neisi HaMikdash. Neisi HaMikdash, what did the Kohatites carry? The holy artifacts. Rashi says, this does not refer to the Mishkan. This refers to Neisi Dvarim Mikudashim, Hamikudashim. They were carrying the things which are most sanctified, things are most holy. Talk about the Aron, like I said, the menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbech, and so on and so forth. Then it says Vehikimus HaMishkan. Who does this refer to? Says Rashi, this refers to Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari, because they had taken it apart and they set forth on a journey. And then Reuven moved into place, and then Bnei Gershon and Merari, who were ahead, they were two flags ahead. There was the flag of Yehuda that was together with them, and then there was a flag of Reuven behind them. They would put up the Mishkan wherever the cloud would settle. Yehuda, the sign of settling would first show itself over the tribe of Yehuda. They would break, they would camp. The children of Kohath are still walking with their wagons, are still traveling. With the last two flags, last two banners. Therefore, Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari, who had carried the Migdash, who had taken it apart, loaded it, and they had transported it. Now at this point, so they would, Makim in HaMigdash, they would put it up. When Bnei Gas would come, might see a nice al mochunai. They would say, "Oh, everything's ready. Is the Mishkan ready? We took it. It wasn't a Mishkan anymore. But now we arrived. There's already a Mishkan." Umachnisim bay ha'aren v'ashulchan. They would place inside the Mishkan that had already been newly re-erected. They would bring inside the Aron. They would bring inside the Shulchan, the Menorah, as well as the Mizbechot, the altars. The Zeo Mashmos Hamikra. This is the meaning of the verse. Vehikimu mikimi haMishkan, I say, that's what it means. Vehikimu haMishkan. Who is Vehikimu haMishkan? This refers Aterem Bayim Shal Bnei Kohath, means that the tribes, the families of Kohath and Merari would push the Mishkan together even before Kohath managed to get there. And this brings us into the rear. Benosa Degel Machane Bnei Ephraim. Now Bnei Ephraim would set forth. Let's see what he's done by his troops. Val Tzvah, and the head of his troops is Elishon ben Amiot. Val Tzvah, Mate, Bnei Menashe. Menashe came along with Ephraim. Although Ephraim was the main banner. Gamliel ben Pedatzur. Val Tzvah, Mate, Bnei Binyamin, on the formation of the children of Binyamin, who went along with Ephraim under his banner, Avidon ben Gidoini. And now the Torah says, V'nosa Degel Machane Bnei Don, the banner of Don, would then set forth. And the Torah uses a very interesting expression to describe the children of Dan. Namely, verse 25, it says that Nosan, Degel, Machane, Bnei Dan, Ma'aseif l'chol ha-machnes. They were the one who gathered it all together. They gathered together all the camps, all the camping. Litzivosam, by their or arrangement or troops, Valtzavoi Achiezer ben Amishadoi. So what we need to understand now is, what's up with Ma'asif L'chol HaMachnas? What does this mean? So Rashi says, the one who is going to be traveling last is always going to be bringing up the rear, pulling it all together, so to speak. What does this mean? Talmud Yerushalmi, we find in the Talmud Yerushalmi, because the tribe of Dan was populous, very, very high numbers, That's why Hayan Isaiah Ba'acharayna. That's they would leave last. In other words, the other tribes that went were not as numerous. V'chol mi shayim abedavar. Anybody who lost something, anybody who left something behind in the journey. So Dan would find it. U'machazir elai. And Dan would return whatever got lost. Lost and found. The original lost and found was Machne Bnei Dan. So the Abarbanel says, why does it say L'chol? It says, V'nasa dego machne masif L'chol ha-machnes. What's L'chol? So L'chol, the Abarbanel adds, not only was he last of the Israelites, but also Shal Nechashalim, the stragglers, the Ha'ed of Rav, and the mixed multitude, Holchu Bachrino went at the end. So Bnei God really came last. There's a part of this journey, a part of this parade we didn't even mention, and that is the stragglers, the lost people, or the Eid of Rav. And Dan would come at the very end. That's L'chol HaMachnes. And what would he do? He would return the lost items. So the balance of today's class is going to focus on what can we learn from the camp of Dan. What does it mean to return the lost items, besides in a literal level? Kuf Samachas. Biur Las Degel Machane Bnei Dan. To better understand the virtue of the camp of the banner of Dan, who the Torah calls Ma'asef L'chola Machanes, in gathering of all of the different camps. To understand this, Alpi Pnimi Senyanim, by virtue of the mystical teachings of Torah. So there's a way to look at this in the rubric of Pshat. There's a literal meaning what it has. And then we want to look at it in the dimension of the mystical part of Torah, the spiritual part of Torah. What is it saying to us when it talks about Machane Dan being Ma'asif L'chol HaMachnes? So the Rebbe begins his analysis with the following. Mikach shadego Machane Bnei Dan hoya ha'acharein. Since the children of Dan were the last, mashma shehu hoya ha'nochus shebahem. It seems like Dan is the lowliest, the last, bringing up the rear. Not the prominent first early tribes. But at the same time, even though we say he's like a caboose, the Yachadim Zeis, along with this, and maybe because of this, Davkim Mishumkach, to this degel, to this banner, was Nitna HaYecholus, given the ability, Lahashiv Dvarim, Sha'avdu L'Shara Machanas, things that were lost to the other camps, who could return it? Dan was given that privilege. What does this mean? Hezber Advar. This is the explanation. Ba'avedas ha'abeira, in the service of God, there are many different manners, many different dimensions, many different layers. Yeshna aveda mitech havana. There is a service to Hashem that comes out of a deep and profound understanding of the Torah and what Hashem wants from us. Shetachlis virigshis. Pardon me. Aveda miteich havana v'hakara, which is sichlis and rikshis, which is both cerebral or emotional. There are some people who serve Hashem with their minds, intelligently, with high education. There are some people who serve Hashem with great fervor and great passion, their hearts. So you have, you're talking about the full gamut, the range of the human experience. But then there is a third method of serving Hashem. Not when the mind understands so much, not because the heart is inflamed with passion, but rather serving Hashem because Hashem said, this is called subservience. In Hebrew, we call this mitoch kabbalas oil, accepting the yoke, kabbalas amach hashamayim. Not identifying on a personal level, say, oh yeah, this moves me, this excites me, I get this. No. And now comes the question, eiza mishtei avedas elonai liyaseh, which one is higher? The service to Hashem that's based on and is filled with my own feelings and fervor and understanding, or the avodas Hashem that's done with a bowed head, the subservience, whatever the Eibishter wants, the kabbalas hamach hashamayim. So l'chaira, ostensibly, ha'avodim et hakabbalas hamach hashamayim b'vad, serving Hashem only out of acceptance of the yoke, he hanechusa yeser. It's got to be the lowest form of aveda. I'm not there. I'm not invested. I'm not involved. I'm just going through the mechanics. Avo meinik yisa. Conversely, yesh ba mailo al aveda mitechakar pnimis. There is a certain virtue a tremendous virtue, in the service to Hashem, which is done out of subservience rather than self-identification and self-expression. And this comes mehakarasa shel ha'adam b'mayla, when a person is identifying with something, he recognizes the beauty of the mitzvahs, the pageantry, the glory, the importance, the meaning, the understanding. That's why he does it, because it makes sense to him. So what's wrong with that? That's great. But what's wrong is kaim chash lahavlata yaseira amitzias ha'adam. There becomes the issue, the concern with self-expression, self-esteem, self-confidence that could oftentimes border on arrogance. I like this. I feel good about this. I can identify with this. This is my kind of mitzvah, and so on and so forth. And that could happen to such a degree that at some point the person becomes not a servant of God, but a servant of themselves. They just start to self-worship. And that's a problem. It's a real problem. Because the Aveda that comes out of Kabbalah, so Malchus Shamayim, the Aveda that comes to subservience, doesn't think about himself at all. How do I feel? Who cares how I feel? But this doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, big deal. As they say, he used to say in Yiddish, who are you? What? What's the question? Kabbalah, so Malchus Shamayim, whatever the Eibishter says. He, Einoim Yischasheves Klal B'Mitzuse. He doesn't think at all about his existence, his mind, his heart. In the person's understanding, in the range of his passion and emotion. And therefore, because that's the case, there's no way to get lost. There's no way to get carried away with yourself. When you identify with the mitzvah, there's always danger of getting carried away with yourself. When you're doing it out of subservience, can't get carried away. And this, my dear friends, is precisely the virtue of Dego Machnidan, who is ma'abed l'chol ha-machnes. Ha-machnes sh'ochol l'fnei machne dan, the camps that went before dan. U'behem, also b'nei Levi. Af b'nei kahas, even the holiest family of Levites, the kahas family, they were also in front of dan. Avdu as Hashem, b'dargas gevoyes, they served Hashem in very lofty levels. Levels of his alos, sichlis and rikshis. Levels of tremendous accomplishment, tremendous expressions, both cerebrally as well as emotionally. Ach davke mishum kach, because of this, hayu b'machnes el, there was always a concern of la'ovdan his batlos with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What could they leave behind? Because they identified with the mitzvah so strongly. What might they leave behind? The obedience of the mitzvah. And from then, who knows? You could even leave the mitzvah behind. And that's because they weren't in a state of total nullity. They weren't in a state of total subservience. They identified. This is cool. I get it. This makes sense to me. Dafke dego machmei don. It was the children of don. Hanochos shebet golem, the lowest of banners. The tribe of don was not known for tremendous cerebral acuity. They were not known for their great fervor-filled activities on Yiddishkeit. So precisely because they were known for this, not only was Dan protected, Dan would never have the problem of getting carried away with himself. How could he? There was no self. He's a selfless person. His Aveda was really with selflessness. So not only is there not an issue of Dan leaving something on the table and losing something, Dan was able to bring it back home for the others too. If the others did get carried away, if they would leave something behind, and the Rebbe explains that it's talking about something ruchniistic, something spiritual behind. If they left behind some of their own subservience, so Dan would be the ones to reserve it to them, as it says, "Kol mishayim abedaver, where I lost something, hayim machazir eloi." And that, my friends, is the meaning of ma'asef l'chol hamachne. And that's what the Torah talks to us about it. So the most important thing of all is Kabbalas, Oil, Malchus, Shomayim. You do identify, you don't identify. That's all good, by the way. You have to identify. And you have to learn. And you have to feel the passion. But that is ultimately does not carry the day. What carries the day is simple subservience, simple obedience, Kabbalas, Oil, Malchus, Shomayim, So it is written, so it shall be done. Nasa v'nishma, we're ready to do whatever the Almighty asks of us.